The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, former US President Donald Trump has called for the termination of the US Constitution. Terry Sheridan, News Director at WSHU Public Radio, joins me on the line. Terry, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you, Pat.
So, it's got a lot of attention. What did he say and where did he say it?
Well, he said this on Truth Social, and it was in reaction to the so-called Twitter files that were released on Friday. I'm going to read a long quote, but it says, "So, with the revelation of massive and widespread fraud and deception, in working closely with big tech companies to throw out the rightful winner," it basically goes on and says, "a massive fraud of this type and magnitude allows for the termination of all rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution. Our great founders did not want and would not condone false and fraudulent elections." And then he followed up with another tweet another Truth Social in all caps, "Unprecedented fraud requires unprecedented cure."
Now, let's talk about to what he was referring. This is the Twitter business, and Elon Musk had teased this for a number of days that there was going to be some bombshell. What exactly was at the heart of it?
Well, it was, again, what's being called here the Twitter files. Elon Musk went through some internal Twitter documents from the fall of 2020 and released conversations and emails with members of the Biden campaign and the members of the Democratic National Convention over how they were going to handle leaked documents from, or supposedly leaked documents from, the Hunter Biden laptop. So there was an ongoing conversation about what was going to happen. One issue was whether they would release or allow people to retweet a New York Post article that was based on unconfirmed and hacked documents. And then the other was some revenge porn featuring Hunter Biden that was obscene, and whether that would be published. Now, obviously, both went against Twitter's rules at the time, but Twitter did actually back down on the leaked documents and allowed the New York Post story to be published ultimately. But this supposedly was a big scandal on how the Democrats were manipulating Twitter in order to get the election. But again, it just seemed to be a big nothing.
A big nothing, because the story in the Post got published anyway, and you wouldn't expect revenge porn featuring Hunter Biden to be published by the platform. At that stage, who knows what the new Twitter under Elon Musk will allow? who knows? Now, the remarks about the Constitution, presumably, you know, the White House had to say what it did say, and that made a lot of sense, defending the Constitution. What about Republicans? Did they row in behind Trump, any of them?
Republicans have been silent for the most part. Republican Twitter, absolutely not dealing with this. On the Sunday morning talk shows, you had a few Congress people, while saying they don't agree with the former president, they didn't come right out and condemn it. We've heard nothing from any of the Republican leadership, any of the high-profile senators. Absolute silence. Now, what's happened in the past, over the past couple of weeks, now that Trump has reemerged as a candidate, is when he'll say something, there'll be a delay of maybe 3 or 4 days until they get their story straight, and then they'll defend him or defend it somehow, maybe today or tomorrow.
Mm. Now, in the meantime, Donald Trump has suffered another legal setback, and this is the latest in a long series of setbacks. And this was the appointment originally by one of his own judicial appointees, Aileen Cannon, of the special master who would oversee the handling of the Mar-a-Lago documents, which Trump removed from the White House. And also, she stopped the Department of Justice continuing its investigation pending the master's observations.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what's striking about this decision is that it was made by a conservative-leaning court, two of which members, it was a three-member panel, two of which members were appointed by Trump. In the opinion, the judges were really harsh on the original judge, Aileen Cannon, because they said she really had no cause to do what she did. Basically, to sum up, the Trump defense strategy was to have the special master review all of the documents that were seized from Mar-a-Lago, and then determine which fell under lawyer-client privilege and which fell under executive privilege, and which were taken, quote-unquote, illegally. The panel ruled that No, the Department of Justice and the FBI followed all the rules when they took these documents after the after they went into Mar-a-Lago. And two, there is no claim for executive privilege because Donald Trump is no longer president. So that ended the special master completely. Now, since that was first set up in September or early September, they've lost a series of cases, Trump, on about what could be looked at. So this is just basically saying no, everything that the FBI has and the Department of Justice has is fair game.
Now, the clock is running against the January the 6th committee, because once you have a new Congress with the elections which happened in the midterms, people like Liz Cheney are gone. So are they winding up their business at the moment?
Yes, they are. We're expecting, we don't know, we don't have a date for it, but we know that this week they are preparing their final report. We don't know if they will have another session to reveal it, whether they will drop it or publish it. But yes, they have said that they are preparing their final report. And yeah, you're right. Come January 1st, or actually January 2nd, when the new Congress is in, this January 6th committee will cease operations. But the Department of Justice investigation continues. That doesn't stop because Congress has changed.
And the work of the newly appointed special prosecutor, how much power does he have?
He has a lot of power. He was appointed a couple of weeks ago because former President Trump announced he was running again. So to take it out of the Department of Justice from Merrick Garland, the attorney general, who is a Biden appointee, they made this special the special prosecutor, but he's been going gangbusters, writing briefs on Thanksgiving Day, batting down different theories, and is known to be very aggressive. So Donald Trump is not out of legal hot water just because Congress changes on January 1st.
Yeah, and Kellyanne Conway is going to be testifying to a federal grand jury. So who knows what will come out, because she resigned at a time when Donald Trump was talking about the elections might not be free and fair, da-da-da-da. So whether or not that's coincidence or whether it's, a result of that kind of thinking on Donald Trump only, we will find out once her testimony becomes clear. So any sign of the Republicans kind of mounting any kind of challenge to Donald Trump as their likely candidate? Because if this kind of embarrassment carries on, he will be virtually unelectable.
Yes, but very quietly. So you had Mike Pence, who released a book a couple of weeks ago. He is making appearances as if he was a candidate. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, also right now a stealth candidate. Senator from Florida Marco Rubio is also releasing a book within the coming months. Former governor of New Jersey Chris Christie is also acting like a candidate. So no, I mean, no one has come right out and challenged Donald Trump yet, but there are several candidates who are trying, or several politicians looks like they're laying the groundwork for a possible run.
Terry, thank you very much for joining us. Terry Sheridan, News Director at WSHU Public Radio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.